Please open your copy of God's Word to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, you'll find it on page 1062 if you're using one of the supplied copies of the Word. Page 1062. Tonight we'll be looking at the Westminster Larger Catechism question 18 and one of the answers to that question. That being, what are God's works of providence? What are God's works of providence? God's work of providence in his most powerful preserving all his creatures, ordering them and all their actions to his own glory, is what we'll look at tonight. God's work of providence in his most powerful preserving all his creatures, ordering them and all their actions to his own glory. Hear now the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? May the Lord now bless the hearing and preaching of his word. I want you to know that you can look to Jesus and see God. You can look at Jesus and see God. Now, does that seem like an odd subject for a sermon on God's preservation? Lord willing, you'll see why I use that shortly. Let's look at the radiance of God's glory as we set the foundation for what we're discussing. Verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, this is the verse that the Westminster divines choose as the proof text for this portion of the answer to the question, God's powerful preserving. Now, why is that? Let's look at it again. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. What this says to us, in a nutshell, is that if at any moment God stopped upholding the things that he has promised to uphold, his word would not be true. And that would leave us unable to trust it from beginning to end. It would be shifting sand, a falsehood. But that isn't the case. God spoke and all things came into existence. And now, the very word himself upholds them until such a time as he folds up creation to reveal a new garment, a restored creation. And so that cannot happen until that glorious day. So he has to keep his word. He has to uphold all things by the word of his power. He spoke and created the animals. And he gave them rules to live by. They would procreate and create unto their kind. The birds, the fish, the animals. He created us and gave us bounds for living. And he upholds us by the word of his power. Our salvation itself is upheld by the word of God, spoken and lived. There is a reason why Jesus is called the Logos, the living word. It's something we touched on this morning, and it can't be ignored here, because the preacher of the Hebrews talks so much about who Christ really is. And he reveals that he is God, very God. And all things are upheld by him. Verse 8, to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Forever and ever requires upholding. If it was not upheld, this again would be a lie. And we would have nothing to trust. Nothing. And Christ is the only way for you to approach God himself. Christ is the only way for you to approach God. He has said it himself. I am the way. I am the life. I am the gate. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now that's a very definitive statement. What does a definitive statement require? Upholding. Preservation. When you make a statement about your home, and it's a definitive statement, if this doesn't happen, this will happen. You've got to preserve what you have said. You've got to uphold it. Or else your authority is lost. And your children look at you and says, well, he says this, but I know if I hold out long enough, I'll get my way. But when you preserve your word, when you uphold it, they know it's valid, it's true. Now, here again, the word sustains all things, upholding all things by the word of his power. Look at life around you. Consider what God has said. He said he would never again destroy the earth by flood. And he hasn't. He has preserved our world against that. He has made promises, and not a single one of those promises has ever been broken. Not a single one. He has preserved his own word for your sake. Think about it this way. Is there anyone in your life who promises things and then does the opposite? Is there anyone who says, I'll be there, and doesn't show up? And I don't mean the unavoidable accident or the thing that gets in the way. I mean that this person, as a part of their personality, as one of their characteristics, simply doesn't uphold their word. The Lord taught me a strong lesson about that. Using Psalm 15, in discussing the righteous who will inhabit Zion, he said that the righteous keeps his word even to his hurt. Even to his hurt. And it was a simple thing that got me there. What I thought was an innocent thing. In seminary, I worked full time. I took full time classes. And yet, I wanted to have that seminary experience. I wanted to fellowship with the brothers. I wanted to hang out and do what they were doing and get that feeling. And so when they would ask me, Mark, you want to do this weekend? Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. And then Saturday would come along after a long week of work, long week of studying, and I'd be simply exhausted. And I'd say, I can't make it. They understood. And yes, I was tired. But what the Lord revealed to me was that I was carelessly giving my word and not keeping it. I was an untrustworthy man. And that taught me that it's okay sometimes to say no. That it's okay to step back and say, I'm not sure, I'll see if I can. How good to know that the Lord never has to do that. If he says it, it is so, and you can take that to the bank. I heard someone make a joke one time about his great income. He said one time he wrote a check and the bank bounced. If our Lord's word was a check, the bank would bounce. Psalm 33:9, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. It stood firm because of the preserving power of Christ. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is before all things, and all things hold together. Now, does that sound at all familiar compared to what we just read from Hebrews? Listen to verse 10. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. See, this isn't a one-time idea or a one-time thought. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So when you are tempted to doubt a promise of the Lord, because right now it's dark outside and you can't see to put one foot before the next, remember that his word is a lamp unto your feet that can be trusted always. Always, no matter what. And you can rejoice at the purification of your sins because, again, it's promised and upheld. Verse 3 again. When he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ purged our sins. And that means you remain purged of the power of sin. You remain purged of the power of sin. Do we still sin? Yes. But sin is no longer our God. Sin no longer commands us because we have been purged from the power of sin. And his preserving word, his most powerful preserving, means that never again in your days in this world will sin command you. Let that do two things for you, beloved. Let it bring you joy, knowing that unlike the pagan, unlike the unsaved, you don't have to do those things anymore. You have been set free to be holy before a holy God. And at the same time, let it break your heart when you do sin, knowing you didn't have to. But don't let that defeat you. Let it take you to your knees in repentance before God, who has, in his preservation, in his upholding of his word, so that if you come to me and repent, I will forgive you. And when asked by one of his disciples who wanted to know, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? He keeps doing it. He gave him an infinite number, 70 times 7. Now, not to doubt your sincerity, but I'd be hard-pressed to think any of you has a little tablet by which you're marking someone in your life who keeps coming to you saying, I'm sorry, and you're going once, twice, three times, four, trying to count out 70 times 7. This is a number the Lord gave to say, you just keep forgiving. And that's what he does for us. As we mature and grow out of that sin. And now, how important is it that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high? The right hand is the hand of power. To be left-handed is uncommon. Most people are right-handed. They do things with their right hand. They sign with their right hand. They lift with their right hand. They wave with their right hand. And when it comes to authorities, often to demonstrate their right hand. Have you ever heard that term? Someone's is your right hand. That's that person that acts with your authority, with your power, with your permission. Christ, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, forgives you, preserves you, orders your steps in His Word. Do you ever wonder how it is that you've lived this long, knowing the things that have happened in your life? You've been preserved for this very moment. And here's the good news. You're preserved for the moment beyond this life, which will stretch to an eternity. You are upheld. You are upheld like a father upholds his child in his arms. And when the dog comes running, he holds tighter. And when the bear roars, he holds tighter. And when the lion flashes his fangs, he just holds tighter. And in his right hand, he holds the weapon that will slay that animal and preserve you. And beloved, the animal after you has been slain. The devil's power over you has been cut. The cords of sin have been cut away from your life, never to be reattached. Never to be reattached. Free. Protected by a holy, infinite Father. Safe for eternity. That's you. The answer to that question, that clause, goes on to talk about how God orders His creatures and all their actions to His own glory. That's not our main focus for now, but I do want to mention the fact that in your life, there are no accidents, no coincidences, nothing happens by chance. And what does this give you? This gives you the opportunity to look at anything that occurs and in the midst of it, give thanks. Now, a wise pastor once said to me, God's not saying necessarily to thank Him because it hurts, but to thank Him in the midst of the hurt. To say, Lord, I know in the midst of this, You are not only preserving me, but upholding me and teaching me and training me. And do you know what I have found absolutely fascinating? When you do that enough, you get to a point where you can thank the Lord for your difficulty. Does that sound a little crazy? You can. You can thank the Lord for the pain that He brought because it taught you. You can thank the Lord for the difficulty that He brought because it gave Him a chance to glorify Himself in you and through you for someone else's sake. And in the midst of all that, know that He upheld His word and preserved you whether through the fire or the flood, you will neither be burned up or washed away. Because he is preserving you. And not one of you can say that isn't true. Because you're here. You're here right now because he has preserved you. You've had those dark nights. You've known the pain. You remember thinking, there is no tomorrow for me. But here you are. And you're here because he preserved you. And he upheld you. And he always will. As such, call on Jesus today. Call on the one who preserves. Call on the one who upholds. He has a banquet table set with a place for you. And if you don't know him today, call his name. And he will rush to your side. And instead of that shifting sand, you'll stand on rock. And your house will not be moved. And when it burns, you will not be singed. And when it floods, you will not be washed away. Because God, in his providence, uses his most powerful preserving to keep his creatures safe. Look at Jesus and see God himself. Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is good to know that in a world filled with shifting opinions, lies, errors, your word stands perfectly preserved and always will. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.